Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the response of Jesus to the crowd that was angry with him for working on the Sabbath. And we'll pick up in John chapter 5, verse 37 for the conclusion of the Father's witness of the Son, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
The Pharisees certainly thought they heard the voice of God. They were God's men. They were God's spokesman. They were the authorities. Jesus said, you've never heard God's voice. Never heard God's voice. What an indictment. You've never heard his voice. You've never seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. The very proof that they did not have God's word abiding in them was their opposition to the living word that was standing before them. They were claiming to have the word of God in them, but the word of God was incarnate before them, and they were opposing the living word. And then Jesus said this, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. These men, as Jesus said here, they searched the scriptures. They were truly Bible experts. The rabbinical schools have set up unbelievably rigid procedures to teach the scriptures to their students. And they so thoroughly come to know the word from a technical standpoint that some of them know every word that is written in the entire text. Now, those that do that today are the descendants of these men that are here opposing Jesus. And they searched the scriptures because they thought that in the scriptures they had eternal life. But Jesus said, the scriptures testify of me. We should search the scriptures. We're commanded to search the scriptures. We're commanded to meditate on the scriptures, to study the scriptures. But let's never forget that the scriptures are not an end in themselves. Just knowing the Bible is not the goal. The goal is knowing Christ. You see, the scriptures are not the end. The scriptures are the means to the end. The end is to know the Lord. And it is possible to some degree be like the Pharisees. Not in that we would not necessarily know Christ, but we can get so involved in just the technical aspect of it, in just knowing the scriptures from that technical standpoint, that we can miss the person of Jesus. You know, there are many men who know God's word quite well who end up doing unbelievable things, sinful things. And sometimes you look at that and you think, how could that happen? How could a man who knew the Bible so well, how could somebody who was such an expert in the scriptures, somebody who taught them with such authority and such clarity, how could that person have done that? You know how? Because they lost sight of the goal of the scriptures. They began to think of them as an end in and of themselves. They forgot that they're to lead us to Jesus, the person. We have to really watch ourselves. We have to be on our guard that that doesn't happen to us. And we do that by remembering that this is my connection with the person, Jesus Christ. And as I come to these scriptures, I am coming to them understanding that they are His words and they're bringing me to Him personally. Sometimes in a church, you can lose sight of that. And the goal of the church becomes really just gathering for Bible study. Forgetting that Bible study, again, is meant to lead us to the living Jesus who will then be working in us and through us and out from our midst and so forth. You know, if we've just come to Bible study and we feel I've done my duty, then we're misunderstanding what God's intention is. The Bible study is to move us. It's to move us to worship. It's to move us to obedience. It's to move us to action. It's to move us to love. It's to move us to proclamation of the good news. You see, the Word is a means to that greater end of knowing God. And that's what these men sadly had forgotten. But Jesus says regarding the scriptures, He says, they testify of me. And yes, they do indeed. They testify of Him. Now, Jesus, of course, was speaking here of the Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament obviously was not written at the point that Jesus was making these statements. But He says, the scriptures testify of me. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, there's a quotation there from the 40th Psalm. And it says, lo, I come, Jesus speaking. It's a messianic prophecy. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. The volume of the book, meaning the primary message of the book. What book? The Old Testament. So the Old Testament scriptures were what we call anticipatory. They were not complete in and of themselves, but they were anticipating a fulfillment. I oftentimes, as I finish my Old Testament and begin to move into the New Testament, I oftentimes have paused and sadly thought about Israel. That still to this very day, they're looking to their scriptures as sort of an end, failing to see the anticipatory element that they were pointing them to something that was coming. And man, when you read the Old Testament and you finish it up, whether you finish in Malachi or 2 Chronicles, the Jewish Bible ends with 2 Chronicles because of the order is laid out a little bit differently, because 2 Chronicles ends the historical aspect. And it's a sad state of affairs either way you look at it. The people have been led away into captivity in 2 Chronicles. And in Malachi, God says, I'm going to send Elijah and he's going to come before the great, awesome day of the Lord. And he's going to strike the earth with a curse. And, you know, so, boy, you get to the end of that and you think, is that it? Is that what we're left with? But as you read it, it clearly is anticipatory. It's pointing you to something that's coming. But how tragic. The Jews of Jesus' generation, the leaders, and when John uses that term, the Jews, he's speaking of the religious leadership. They didn't see that. They didn't understand that. And sadly, they've passed that same mistake on to their children down to this present generation. But the scriptures testify of Jesus. You can go through Genesis. And beginning as early as chapter 3, verse 15, the first promise of a deliverer, the first messianic promise that's given. And on through all the different pictures and types there in Genesis, be it with Melchizedek or with Abraham or Isaac or Joseph. And then right on through Exodus and the Passover and the various feasts that pointed to Christ and the sacrifices that were established there in Leviticus that spoke of various aspects of the atonement that the Messiah would provide. And right on there through Numbers and, you know, the different pictures in Numbers, the bronze serpent, the star that would come, and then that prophet in Deuteronomy that would be like Moses. And right on through the Psalms, right on through the prophets, we in the past we've done a series of studies looking at that, showing how absolutely accurate Jesus was when he made this statement. The scriptures testify of me. And so as we study the scriptures, as we look to them, we see Jesus in them and we're led into deeper communion with him through them. But the sad thing with them was that they were not willing to come to him that they may have life. He said, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. This is a prophecy of something that has yet to happen. It is a prophecy that Israel will embrace the Antichrist. I've come in my Father's name, you didn't receive me. Another coming in his own name. And that is the very thing that the Antichrist will do. He will come in his own name and they will receive him. You know, there was probably a little mini fulfillment of that. Back in 135 AD, there arose a man in Israel. Now, think about it. This is 100 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. 100 years later, there arose a man in Israel named Bar Kokhba. And Bar Kokhba claimed to be the Messiah. And the Jews that were remaining in the land, this was after the Romans had destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, but there were still many Jews in the land. Those Jews embraced this man, Bar Kokhba, as the Messiah. They made coins with his image on them, and they hailed him as their Redeemer. He led a revolt against Rome and was temporarily successful in his revolt, and they put their faith and trust in Bar Kokhba as the Messiah, and then, of course, the Romans slew him. And that was the end of that. But he came in his own name and they embraced him. And he was, you know, a little sort of a picture of what is yet to come in the future. The Jews today are looking for a deliverer. They've already made up their minds that Jesus is not a candidate. Because Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and in their belief, the Messiah will not be the Son of God. He will be a man like Moses. And some today in Israel, if you ask them how they're going to identify their Messiah, they will tell you he's going to help us reconstruct our temple. And he's going to bring a peaceful solution to our problems. Man, they are set up right now. They're in a very vulnerable place. And sadly, they will do exactly what Jesus prophesied here. When another comes in his own name, him they will receive. But then he says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So Jesus really pulls the mask down here and shows that these men were not truly the disciples of Moses as they claimed to be. And it's interesting how he sort of turns things around on them. He says, Moses himself will be your accuser. They will continue to say, "We are Moses' disciples. We don't know who this man is or where he comes from. Moses, we know God spoke to him. We're following Moses." Jesus says, "You're not following Moses. Because if you were following Moses, you would believe in me because Moses wrote about me." So they weren't really the disciples of Moses. They were really disciples of their own doctrine, their own views, their own theological perspectives. They had so added to the Mosaic law itself that you hardly knew what Moses said at that time. The religious Jews have made a lifelong practice of studying the Torah. The Torah are the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. But in order to understand the Torah, they wrote what's called the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is the rabbinical commentary on the Torah. But then, in order to understand the Mishnah, they wrote what is known as the Gemara. And the Gemara is the commentary on the Mishnah that is the commentary on the Torah. So the reality is, at the end of the day, the Jews rarely ever get to the Torah. Although they would say that they study the Torah, they abide by the Torah, they really study the Mishnah and the Gemara, and they only understand the Torah in light of the Mishnah and the Gemara. They basically, as Jesus said in his day, they've taken the doctrines of men and they've elevated them and put them on the same level as the commandments of God. These guys basically invented their own religion, but said it was the religion of Moses. They believed their own words. They didn't believe God's words. And in all of this, what is the lesson? The lesson is, watch out for deception, because it's on the move. And many today are being swept up in different forms of deception, thinking they're hearing God, thinking that because they've studied certain things that I know better, and yet, as we've seen here, it's possible to think that, but to actually be in a state where you've never heard God and you've never seen him at all. How can we guard ourselves against that? Well, I think verse 39 is the key. As I said, we are to search the scriptures. And I encourage you to spend more and more and more time in the Word. You know, that new school Christianity that I was telling you about, they say, you know, we've had enough Bible study. We don't need any more Bible study. We've had too much Bible study. We need to get out and live it now. Well, we certainly do need to live it. There's no question about that. But how can you have too much of it? Because Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The principle there is simply this: if you need to eat food to keep your body going, you need to eat spiritual food to keep your spirit going. You know, what if somebody got up and said, "You know what? You have eaten enough in your life. I mean, come on, think about it. You're 40 years old. You've been eating for 40 years. That's enough. And you've got 20 years or so left, and you just get out there, forget about eating." Of course, that wouldn't work, would it? And it won't work spiritually either. Jesus told us to feed on him. So we need to search the scriptures. We need to stay in the Word. We need to immerse ourselves more and more in it. But we must always remember that it's not the end. It's the means to the greater end of communion with Him, of fellowship with Him, of understanding Him in a deeper way, of knowing His will, of experiencing His guidance and His blessing upon our lives. And so stay in the Word, search the Scriptures, and let them lead you right into that wonderful thing that God gave them to us for, leading us to Christ, so we can have a greater experience with Him. That is one other point that's being emphasized in the new school of Christianity, experience. It's about an experience with God. It is about an experience with God. We are to have an experience with God. This is not to be just a cerebral exercise, just putting in information. But of course, my experience with God must be based on God's Word. There are lots of experiences that people can have. Buddhists have spiritual experiences. Hindus have spiritual experiences. Muslims have spiritual experiences. New Age-minded people have spiritual experiences. How do we know which spiritual experience is valid? How do we know a spiritual experience is really from God? Well, that's why God's given us His Word. You know, some people do get kind of locked into more of an objective approach to Christianity. It's a series of propositions, and it's just a bunch of facts, and we've got it all reasoned out, and it becomes very dry and very stale and stuffy and rigid. That's not the right approach. But we don't throw the objective out and just immerse ourselves in something subjective. And as long as I felt something, then it must have been God. Oh no, you can be easily led astray. The Mormons will tell you about the great experience they've had, the burning in the bosom. It's a powerful, powerful experience. That's how they know that Mormonism is true. So you see, it has to be more than just the subjective. And that's why God's given us His Word. So we can evaluate our experience in light of the Word, and we can say, oh yes, this is of God. This is what the Lord does. I see it here in the pages of Scripture. So we want to have an experience with God. And we do have that as we seek Him, as we meditate on His Word, as we commune, as we fellowship with one another, as we spend time in worship and prayer, as we go about our daily lives. We do have an experience. He wants us to have an experience. We will have experiences, and our experiences in the future might be greater than the ones we've had in the past. But let's not get caught in the trap of seeking an experience. Let's seek the Lord and let Him bring the experiences as He sees best. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the great truths that are here in Your Word for us. And even reading over this discourse that You had with the Pharisees back in those days, Lord, many things for us to glean from and to learn. Lord, knowing that You and the Father are one, together, equal, working together in creation, working together in salvation, working together in our lives to bring us more and more into that place that You would have us to be. Thank You, Jesus, that we can have an experience with You, an encounter with You. And Lord, we know, as You said, the Scriptures testify of You. So as we take more time to give ourselves to the study and meditation upon Your Word, Lord, may our experiences with You become sweeter and sweeter and greater for Your glory in and through our lives. Amen.
The discourse of Jesus to the Pharisees shows us that God the Father and Jesus Christ are working in harmony together to bring us into that place of resting in Him for all things, including our eternal salvation. We'll continue with more of our study through the Gospel of John in our next lesson, but right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message or would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Father's Witness of the Son. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3232. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.